The Bible reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 15, and this can be found on page 1063 in the Church Bible. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen this glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So if I'm still on for the microphone, is that good? Yeah. I'm just going to get my phone so I can time myself. I've been under strict orders while we've been travelling around England doing the presentations for my wife, Lisa, to make sure I don't go over the 15 or 20 minutes that we've been allotted, so hence putting my timer on. But the last church we visited, Lisa was actually speaking, and she took 45 minutes to give the message. So I believe I've still got some credit in the account for that. But it's marvellous to be back and to be able to share here at St. Patrick's. And I just need my clicker. Here we are. This is us, actually, just after Christmas, being up in the Highlands, close to La Paz. So we're at 14,500 feet. So I'm still amazed that people live at that altitude. La Paz is about 13,500 feet, so it's high, so you do feel the altitude there. But you get used to it after a couple of days. But we actually live in Santa Cruz, which is in the lowlands, and there we're about 600 feet above sea level. And it's particularly warm, and so when it got to 40 degrees here in the UK about a month ago, we have that quite regularly. And so we're kind of used to those kind of temperatures. But this is us up in La Paz. And CMS have just put in place, well, last year, you may have seen it on some of their literature. It's about being with Jesus, with each other, to the edges. And for some people, that could mean, like us, going to the other side of the world. But it can be just going to the edge of where we are. So it could be your neighbor next door. It could be somebody in Wallington. But it's really going out and being in community, and where you feel the Lord is just using you as you are to share your faith and to share the gospel news. So we have really felt over the last 6 years that Bible verse in John 1, talking about Jesus moving into the neighbor, becoming flesh and blood and dwelling amongst us. And in the Message version, it talks about Jesus moving in to the neighborhood. So that really has been our focus over the last few years. how we take our calling out into the mission field. This is a picture of our church, Cristo Luz del Mundo, and our church loves taking photos. They always take half a dozen photos during the service. So I thought I'd share a photo, and if we could take a photo at the end of this service, I can share it with them, and they would love that. So we regularly have about 80 people coming to our service. This was Mother's Day, and we provided lunch afterwards, so we actually had a few more people than normal. But we're in the heart of Santa Cruz, and the church, when it was first opened 40 years ago, was right on the edge of the city. But Santa Cruz is one of the fastest growing cities in South America, and so our church now is right in the center. And we have so many buildings being constructed around us. At the moment, we have a 35-story building being constructed directly opposite the church. So as a church, we have a wonderful opportunity now to engage with a brand new community. And one of the things that we have been led to encourage is actually getting out into the surrounding areas of the church. And it takes effort to do that. And this was an initiative that our daughter Anaya thought of. And the beautiful thing about some of these cities in Bolivia is they have lots of parks. It's one of the things that they've developed. And this is a park on the doorstep of our church. So Anaya had this wonderful idea. It's like, I think we should do a community action. We should get into the park and we should clean it up. Now, it's funny, in Bolivia, if you go to La Paz, you don't see any litter in the street at all. You go to Cochabamba, which is another city, no litter in the street at all. You come to Santa Cruz, there is litter everywhere. It's just a real distinction between different parts of the country. So we thought it'd be a great idea to get into the park and clean up. So we just organized this with our church, and we went along one Saturday, and we started to clean up. So we were there for about 4 or 5 hours. And it was amazing during that time that the people in the park, who are not part of our church, who are just there walking the dog, playing with their kids, just going for a walk in the afternoon, suddenly started to get involved. What are you doing? What are you up to? And so, well, here's a bag and here's a picking up stick and let's put all this litter in the bags. And so after about 5 or 6 hours, we had all these bags and we put them in the bin. And people just started to engage with us. Where are you from? Why are you doing this? You know, why are you here in the park? And we were just talking about, well, we think it's a great service to be able just to help clean up our local park. And then they asked us, you know, which church are you from? We're from that church there. Some people never knew that there was a church there. So it's just one example of how you can get out and just start those simple interactions in the community. So we continue with that. And we're doing that now on a regular basis, just getting outside the four walls of the church and engaging with the community in Spanish, which can be a struggle for me on some days. But life in Bolivia is interesting. We've just been through 3 years of change. So we were here July 2019 and went back in August 2019. And we walked back into political unrest in the country. And we had fraudulent elections in November of that year. Some of you might have seen that. You might have seen it on some of the blogs that Lisa's written. Basically, the whole country shut down. Fraudulent election, the whole country went on strike. So you had no government, you had no armed forces, no police, and the whole country is being run by vigilantes. So the way they do the strikes there in Bolivia, they just block all the roads. So you can't drive. There's no way that you can get to majority of the stores. They're all shut anyway. And this is the way. Now, you might be able to see that's our daughter Liliana with our dog Jack standing in the street. But this is just around the corner from our house. So they find anything they can to block the roads. It would be bricks, it would be beds, it will be tires, everything. So we had that for about a month. And each day the tension rose and the tension rose. And then the president was ousted. He left the country. And then we had a caretaker government in for 9 months. And then they had election and the former party won. And so they got back into power. So we went from a period of total shutdown of the country with vigilantes running the cities. And we went from there into COVID. So we had one shutdown, and went straight into the next shutdown. And that lasted for about 18 months. We were not, well, my daughters were not allowed to leave the house for 6 months by law. So they've been online school for 18 months. They're back in school now. Hence their wish not to start their school online. So there's been quite a bit of change going on in the country. This is Lisa standing in front of one of the big banners. It says, Dice No, which says Bolivia says no, which was for the previous president to continue running in office. So there's always a political background to what's going on in Bolivia. So we live with that, and that doesn't really cause us many issues. But it's an undercurrent in the country. There's always something politically happening, but it's relatively stable, so which is a good thing. So we have a relatively stable country, but there is quite a lot of political manoeuvring. This I wanted to share because this is really quite remarkable. During this whole period of civil unrest, when they were trying to oust the government, every Thursday night in the center of Santa Cruz, our city, Christians would meet to pray. So this is the statue called the Cristo, so it's a landmark. And whenever there is seems to be some kind of unrest, people gather to share. And this, you perhaps can't see from the picture, but this is all people praying. So every Thursday night, you had thousands and thousands of people meeting to pray and worship in the center of the city. So it's quite remarkable for us to actually see that and seeing other people, other Bolivians, put in their faith in action for a peaceful transition of the government, which actually happened. So I just thought it was great to share, you know, the life that happens in Bolivia. And when we talk to people about God, Bolivia is a Catholic country. So a lot of people do know something about God. They'll have come up through a Catholic school, or they've been in the church. So we're talking about God, but they don't know much about Jesus. We've just done an Alpha course, and we've had about 50 people. And this is probably the fourth or the fifth Alpha course that we've run. So we have some wonderful discussions about God, who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is. So in my particular group, we talked a lot about God the Father, and there are lots of questions about who Jesus is, and lots more questions about the Holy Spirit. So we got into a long discussion about the Catholic Church, which I said, well, that's a totally different course. But there are lots of inquiries, so people are very curious about faith. So when we talk about God, they have some contact of who God is, but they want to know a lot more. So we, in sharing our faith, just explain who we are. And we walk alongside these people that we meet, and we just share our personal stories. And one of the areas of ministry that we are focused on is what we call social investment. So this is getting out into the communities and helping people to build their own business. And this is the one thing when we went out back in 2016 that we had an idea of, was how do we help people in business? Lisa and I are both from a hotel background, so we have business experience. And we went out to Bolivia. We had no agenda. We just felt we are called to go to Bolivia. We're not quite sure what we're going to do when we get there. And everybody says, don't go with an agenda, because God always has a different idea of what you're going to do anyway, which is true. But over the last 6 years, we've built up a ministry of social investment. So it's helping people who would not get funding through any bank or any other source to actually start their own business and create their own income. And this is just an example of four of the people that we're working with. There are others. But what we do is we get alongside people, first of all. The program is not about lending money, even though we do, and we lend at no interest. We feel very much that's biblical for us. We don't charge any interest, or usury, as they call it, because that totally changes the relationship I have with people as soon as you start to earn any money out of them. But it's really a discipleship program. And to give you an example, the people in the top left-hand corner, Richard and Jenny, they have a public bathroom in the center of the city. And it was a year just meeting and praying with them and going through Bible verses together before we even started to talk about helping them with funding for their business. So it's very different from other microfinance programs where it's just money given for them to start a business. It's all about discipleship, growing in our faith together, and seeing what the Lord is going to do in the community. And I'll talk a little about Richard and Jenny, because they spent their life on the street. They were both drug addicts and alcoholics. Richard's nickname actually is Chachi, which is a kind of alcoholic drink, and it's made from maize, corn. And he used to sleep outside the brewery. So when he woke up in the morning, he could start drinking straight away. And he used to live on onion sandwiches. So he must have been there, quite antisocial behavior. But that was his life. He lived in the street. And him and his wife, Jenny, lived on the street together, came to faith through an outreach program in the city, and now part of a New Frontiers church, have been Christians for probably 10 years. So anyway, the opportunity came to help them with their business, and they came to see me and said, we've got this idea for public toilets. So that's kind of interesting, a bit different from hotels, but public toilets is good. So anyway, roll on several years, they now have a vibrant public toilets business in the center of Santa Cruz. Now, the thing about Bolivia, if you want to go to the toilet, you have to pay a Bolivian. It's like 20p to go. They have 400 people coming through their toilets every day, and they sell Coca-Cola and water and lots of other stuff as well. But what we've seen is the whole of their family actually come together. So Richard and Jenny, through their lifestyle, have quite a wide family, a few social issues in there. But as soon as they had a central place they could call home, and as soon as they started to generate an income, the whole family started to pull together and actually live together and work together. So it's amazing just to see that happen. And one of the most fulfilling parts as well, that Richard and Jenny are from the street, and they understand street kids and street people. So every month, and this is their own doing, they have an outreach lunch for people living on the street. So where their premises is and their house is in the center of the city. And that's a tough area. So every month we do an outreach lunch, and we have about 50 or more young adults, children, adults who come. And we share lunch, and we just spend time with them. And then we spend time praying with them afterwards. And there's always one or two who stay for hours afterwards and just want to be prayed for. So that's my timer, but I'm giving myself an extra 5 minutes. Everybody on this picture has a life story. But we spend time with them. We're discipling them through just through their journey of faith. And our process is that we give them financial education before we even talk about helping them with their business. And then we encourage them to join savings groups afterwards. So we have a process. Let's talk about money and what it is and what's the value of money. Let's see if we can find a business for you that's going to give you a sustainable income for the future. And then when you are making a bit more money, let's see how you can save it. So it's a three-stage process. Lady in the top right-hand corner, Eliana, was a prostitute for 6 years on the street. My husband was shot and killed about 8 years ago. Has 5 children to bring up. Came to faith through Richard and Jenny, so she's part of their church. And she came to see me and the pastor of her church. And we were just talking to her about what it is that she could actually now, through having her life changed, through the power of the Holy Spirit, how her life could then move forward. So now she is working, running the third set of bathrooms that Richard and Jenny now have. And she has her own mobile drinks business. One of the things in Santa Cruz, it's so hot at all the sets of traffic lights, you have people selling drinks on the street corner. So we've invested in her small business. We've had a drinks trolley made. We've given her money to buy her stock. And so we've seen her starting to just regenerate her life. Marina, bottom left corner, has her own bakery. Was in a really difficult domestic abuse situation. We've been able to work through a transition of that, and her business is flourishing. Bottom right-hand corner is Delise, who's a taxi driver, came to see us in terrible financial debt, His taxi is his only source of business for his family of three kids. So we managed to kind of help him sort his finances out, and his taxi was not roadworthy. Just to give you an example, his tyres, there was no tread on his tyres. It was in a terrible state. So anyway, we've been able to invest in his taxi, been able to get it up to, you know, to what we would deem to be roadworthy. And again, and that's nothing that we feel is just us. It's really about everybody who's working to support us to be able to change the lives of the people that we come into contact with. So we don't set out with a specific plan. It just happens organically. It's being led by where we feel the Lord is leading us. And it's amazing to see how that has taken shape over the last 6 years. And hopefully we'll continue on that. So that's a little bit about the people they're working with. This is a picture of one of the lunchtime prayer sessions that we have. In the foreground are two young men that I spent probably about 3 hours with. They are illegal immigrants from Venezuela, and they just came into Bolivia. And I asked them how they arrived, and they said, "Oh, we just walked." You know, so they walked from all the way from Venezuela into Bolivia. And I said, why did you come to Bolivia? Venezuela is so bad, they feel it's worth the risk of just walking across the border and living illegally in Santa Cruz. So we're in contact with them, and we put them into contact with other organizations that can help them to now start living legally in the country. So out of Richard and Jenny's bathrooms, it's a great outreach into the city. This is a young lady called Daniela, and I'll close in a moment. She has been living with us for a year. Some of you might have heard us talk about her, but her lifestyle, her life story, was she was in an orphanage, and when you're 18, you have to leave the orphanage by law. And there's nothing on the other side of that. There is no provision in the community for her to go to, anywhere to go to. So anyway, she came to live with us for a year, which was great, helped me with my Spanish. And Lisa really helped her just to start mature. She hadn't had any schooling really to talk of. So, and up until she was 18, she didn't even have any ID. She had no, she was nobody in the system. There was no record of her. So Lisa worked for 2 years to get her birth certificate and to get her identification card. So once we got that, we could get her into school. And so now we've been able to transition her into a transition house for young adults. So you can see it's just amazing how God works of provision in these communities. And then this is just the last picture of us in our home group. And this is Pentecost Day, so we've all got flames on our head. So it's just how we participate in our church as well. It's just like here. You know, we have home groups, we have worship groups. Well, we don't have a worship group at the moment post-COVID. But we're very much involved, you know, in our church there, the Anglican Church. And so life is similar, but different at the same time. So, you know, we feel that we are very involved with the family there as a church, and we feel like now we're making inroads into a community. And the last 3 years has been tough because it's obviously been the time of COVID. But we feel it's a wonderful time as Bolivia re-emerges post-COVID for the church to be active in the community. So that's why that verse is so important about, you know, Jesus being there in the community through us and the power of the Spirit working through you in connection with the people that the Lord puts in your path on there. Okay. Thank you. It's great being an opportunity to share. And if you have any questions, please do come and see me afterwards. I know when we've been to other churches, my daughter Liliana says, "Oh, Daddy, my social batteries are run down." So I don't have my daughters with me today. So you can ask me for as many questions as you like on that. But it's wonderful to share. Thank you.